And I'm going to be closing the teaching portion just a little bit early and hand out all of these sheets because, frankly, I've just got one back in, and that's the question we're going to be attempting to deal with tonight. But I want everybody who will to fill these little forms out that we have and let me know what subject, what question you have about the Bible, about God's Word, and we're going to deal with it and stay on this format probably till sometime shortly after the new year. So I really need you guys to participate. It's your chance to write down anything you've got a question on and let me know. So does everybody have access to a pen close by them tonight? Anybody not have one? I'll get the ushers or somebody to grab you one because here, like I said, I'm going to shut down class just a little bit early tonight. Give you about 5 or 10 minutes to fill out these sheets. It'll only take you a second, and turn them back in. I'm going to just take the time tonight to do it. That way I'll be sure and get some in. The question we're going to deal with tonight, and I haven't had a chance to talk to this person, so I'm not going to say who it was that gave the question, but it's a very, very good question. They asked the question, how can a person who does not have their faith in the cross of Jesus Christ operate in gifts of the Spirit? Or is that possible for a person who does not have their faith in the cross of Christ to operate in gifts of the Spirit? That's a very good question, isn't it? Has anybody ever seen something like this happen before? Where you saw a gift somebody used in a gift of the Holy Spirit, and maybe you knew or thought, hey, their life isn't right. Can this occur? Well, scripturally, it can happen. And we're going to try to explain to you how tonight from the Word of God. But before we go any further, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin our class. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I'm thankful and grateful for the hunger for the truth of the Word of God that I sense from this body of believers. Lord, may they never lose that. May they always be hungry for the truth of your word. And Lord, I ask tonight for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to effectively and clearly elucidate the answer to the question that's been asked. Lord, for the answers are not coming from me. They're going to come from your word. Because Lord, I don't have all wisdom and knowledge. And I need your help tonight. I need the anointing of the Holy Spirit tonight to teach your word and make it come alive to your people. And Lord, we'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever you do this night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Okay, first of all, let's reiterate the question. Can an individual who does not have their faith in the cross of Jesus Christ operate in a gift of the Spirit? Well, first, let's delineate gifts of the Spirit. There are two sets of gifts mentioned in the Bible. The first set is found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. There's the five ministry gifts: the apostle, the prophet, the teacher, the evangelist, and the pastor. And the Bible says that these gifts were given for the edifying of the church, for the building up of the body of Christ. Okay? So you have ministry gifts. Then the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, lists the nine gifts of the Spirit: tongues, interpretation of tongues, gifts of healing, working of miracles, and so forth. So you have ministry gifts, and then you have gifts of the Spirit. So the question being asked, can an individual operate in these gifts and not have their faith in the cross of Christ? And we're going to get into the Word in just a moment, but I'm going to give you some information first. Absolutely, it can happen. Absolutely. I'll give you biblical examples for it, too. When God gives a gift to an individual, and now let's first talk about ministry gifts, and a person who does not have their faith in the cross of Christ, can they operate in one of those fivefold ministry gifts? Apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist, pastor. They can operate in that gift, but it will, if their faith is not in the cross of Christ, it's not going to do very much good for anyone. And let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. You have somebody like Ken Copeland and Joyce Meyer, who I believe they have, both of these people have shown strong evidence that they have a call of God on their life. That gift of teacher, they're both called. There's no doubt in my mind that both of these individuals are called and gifted by God in the area of teaching. But their faith is not in the cross of Jesus Christ. And that's evident by what they teach. I mean, when Ken Copeland says that Jesus became a sinner on the cross, and Joyce Meyer teaches that he paid on the cross and in hell, that's horrible teaching. Neither one of those people have their faith in the cross of Jesus Christ. But yet the Bible says in Romans 11:29 that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. That means when God calls and gifts a person, he's not going to change his mind on that, on giving that gift or giving that call. So what the church is seeing when people who don't have their faith in the cross, when they can stand up and speak eloquently and speak powerfully, that is a gift of the Holy Ghost flowing through that individual that was given by God. But yet, it can't operate with them necessarily not having their faith in Christ and what he did at the cross. Now, is there any question on that? Does that shock anybody to hear that? Anybody blown away and thinking, whoa, Pastor, we were, yeah, Phil. Well, that's a very good question, Phil. The empowerment can definitely come from the dark side. But it's God who ultimately, when they were born into this world, that gave them the gift to teach. You see what I'm saying? We're speaking specifically about the gift, not necessarily the empowerment behind that gift right now. Okay? So that when they stand up, from the time they were born, God called them from their mother's womb. I mean, just like God called me, I know, from the time from my mother's womb to be a pastor teacher. And thank God I've got my faith in the finished work of the cross of Christ, and I teach Christ and him crucified. And the empowerment behind that will be the Holy Spirit, because that's all the Holy Spirit can anoint, is the preaching of the cross. He will simply not anoint with Holy Spirit power any other message. Okay, you following me, Deb? But that gift can still function. Do you follow me on that? That gift of being a teacher, being a pastor, being an apostle, prophet, evangelist, it can still function, even though it's not being used under the direct anointing and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Let me take you to the Old Testament for just a moment to prove my point. This story in the Old Testament is so beautiful, but yet it's somewhat lengthy. And you can read about it in Numbers chapter 21 through 24, through the end of chapter 24. It's the story of Balak, the king of the Moabites. Okay? And I'm going to paraphrase it for you, but because it covers four entire chapters. And I thought, you know, I don't want what we're doing. And I felt the Lord led me not to go like I usually do when we're studying an entire book, just to simply answer these questions. In Numbers chapters 21 through 24, you read the story of Balak and Balaam. It's a fascinating read. I would encourage you to go read it. But to give you a synopsis of what occurred, Balaam was a prophet of God. Balak, the king of the Moabites, realizing the gift that Balaam possessed of being a prophet, went to him and tried to get him to curse Israel, God's people. And he told Balak, I'll give you a lot of money if you'll do this. Now again, I'm paraphrasing the whole story. I encourage you, go read it for yourself, Numbers 21 through 24. Balak said he tried to buy the power that he saw operating in Balaam. And sadly, Balaam fell for it. And Balaam said, I cannot speak but what God wants me to speak, but nevertheless, I'll go with you. And he accepted the money from Balak. And every time during the course of those chapters you're going to read, there were some seven times that every time Balak would pay Balaam to stand and curse Israel, and every time Balaam would stand and begin to curse Israel as Balak was paying him off, doesn't that sound all too familiar in the modern vernacular? Balaam, all that would come out of his mouth was blessing upon Israel. When he tried to curse them, all that would come out of his mouth was blessing upon the people of God. And that angered Balak, naturally. He's paying this guy, hey, curse my enemies, curse Israel, because their God goes before them and nobody can beat them. And you're a prophet of this Jehovah God, and I've paid you well. Now curse them. And every time Balak would stand on the mountain, and this is so beautiful to me, if you study how Israel camped, whenever Israel encamped, wherever they were at, their camp was in the shape of a cross. Now think of that. You read about how the tribes were told to encamp with that tabernacle where the presence and the glory of God dwelt right in the center of it. Even it's all throughout. I just feel that so much tonight. The cross. When Balaam looked down on them and tried to curse them, nothing would come out of his mouth seven times but great blessing pronounced upon God's people. What do you have going on there? You have a backslidden prophet who has turned himself into a hireling, what the Bible calls a hireling, which is somebody who does a religious job for hire. But yet that gift of being a prophet still functioned through him. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? So, obviously, that's a great biblical foundation to answer the question. And how does it happen? How does a person operate in a gift without the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit? Because when God gives that gift, he never takes it away. Now, let's take it to the New Testament for a moment. Okay? And somebody who doesn't have their faith in the cross operating in one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let's pick tongues and interpretation. That's a good one because and Paul took three chapters in the book of 1 Corinthians addressing, basically, the gift of tongues and interpretation. Why? Because the Corinthian church was totally out of control with it. I mean, they had become so enamored with this gift of tongues that their church service, all they were doing was all of them coming together, and in their flesh, all of them wanted to look spiritual. So you'd have three or four people at once stand up speaking in tongues while the preacher was trying to preach the word. Now that's a mess, ain't it? Imagine that scenario. That's what was going on in the Corinthian church. And were those gifts operating at that time? Absolutely so. Absolutely so. Yes, it was for real. Absolutely it was, Deb. But here it is. Again, I'm encapsulizing my answer to the question here. Paul, in the 14th chapter, told the church at Corinth he put a limit on the use of this gift. Now, please don't nobody get mad at me. I'm not picking on no one. But many in the modern church, the unlearned Pentecostals in the modern church, you know what they accuse Paul of? Well, Paul, you're trying to quench the Spirit. Because you said, let the prophet speak two or three and let the others judge. That's what he said. Let the prophet speak two or three and let the others judge. In other words, if the Holy Spirit, after three messages in tongues and interpretation, has not made his point to the congregation, then you need to move on with the service and begin to preach the Word of God in English. Does that make sense to everybody? So when a person stands up, and here's what we need to bring out here, to give, let's say, an utterance in tongues or a word of prophecy, here's where the church has gone into so much error. They think because God used that person, and it's a genuine gift, and let's say maybe you know something about their life and you knew last week they were out doing something horrific, sinful, they ought not to be doing. But yet they show up at church on Sunday morning and operate in a gift of the Spirit, like giving a direct prophecy or tongues and interpretation. How can that be? Well, first of all, these gifts operate on the basis of God's grace. You don't know, we as humans don't know really the spiritual state of that individual. We may have seen him do something last week, but I'm going to tell you something about the grace of God. If 2 minutes before they walked in the church door, they asked the blood of Jesus to cleanse them from whatever you saw them do, they are just as eligible and fit to be used by God as anybody else. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus is. But here's where the church has erred. The church judges people and their spirituality and their how close they are to God on the basis of if they're them being used in a gift of the Spirit. In other words, the mindset of most of the church is that if a person is used in a gift of healing, a word of knowledge, tongues and interpretation, or a word of prophecy, they must be some kind of spiritual giant who walks this close to Jesus. Not necessarily true. Not necessarily true. Why? Because these gifts operate on the basis of God's grace. In other words, let me put it to you like this. Were it not for the blood of Jesus, none of us would be fit to be used in a gift of the Spirit. Not a one of us. We never, of our own merit, meet God's criteria to be used in the gift of the Spirit. We're not clean enough. We're not holy enough. We're not righteous enough. But getting back to the question now, can that person operate in a gift of the Holy Spirit not having their faith in the cross, let's say for their sanctification? Let's say they put their faith in the cross for their salvation. And even though as they live their Christian experience, they're all over the place, they're carnal, can they still operate in that gift? Absolutely. Because that's exactly what was going on at the church at Corinth. I want you to turn with me now. Let's go to the Word. Turn with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now this is Paul writing to a church that he made the statement about this church. And I want you to bear this in mind. Listen closely. He said, I thank God that you come behind in no gift. In other words, this church at Corinth had all 9 gifts of the Spirit operating in it. This church at Corinth had all 5 of the minister gifts operating in it. That's what's meant by Paul's statement. I thank God you come behind in no gift. But now look what he tells them here in chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Now think of that. This is a church that had all 9 gifts of the Spirit regularly operating in it, had all 5 of the ministry gifts operating in it. But yet Paul tells them, hey, you're still yet babes. What's the point you're trying to make, Pastor? I'm trying to tell you that spiritual gifts do not determine the spirituality of an individual or their closeness to God. That needs to sink in on your minds, church. We need to thank God, and I pray, God, that gifts of the Spirit operate in our church every service in some form or fashion. And I know the gifts operate many times, and when we're not identifying them as gifts of the Spirit. We just think it's maybe intuition or just something, a thought came to our head. Listen, believers, you are Spirit-filled with the Holy Spirit of God, who is dwelling you 24/7, 365. The thoughts you have, many of them, hopefully all of them, are ordered of the Lord. Okay? I don't think anybody's at the point where all of our thoughts are ordered of the Lord. If you are, please take this Bible and you start to teach, because you'll do a lot better than I will. Because I'm not there yet. But however, many times things I believe that we think are just intuition or just ideas that come to our head, those are words of knowledge and words of wisdom given to us by the Holy Spirit of God as one of the 9 gifts of the Spirit. But a person being used in a gift of the Spirit does not make them a spiritual giant. Paul said it right here to this church. He said, you're still babes in Christ, basically. Even though you have all of these gifts operating in your church, you're still babes. You see, because why? Because the church at Corinth was a lot like the modern church in the world today. It really was. And that people were doing things to make themselves look spiritual. And they had genuine gifts, and they were arrogantly using these gifts. So again, the question, yes, absolutely. A person who does not have their faith in the cross of Christ for their sanctification can be used in the gift of the Spirit, because the grace of God, if they've got their faith in the cross for their salvation, that's what qualifies a person to be used in a gift of the Spirit. Does everybody follow me on that? Yeah, Mike. Stand up and say it out loud, Mike. This is going to be good. Oh, you're talking about over at our former church. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I know who you're speaking of. Yeah, yeah. So again, being used in a spiritual gift does not prove one's closeness to God. Does everybody see that? Amen. It's important you understand that. Because for years, let me be frank, that's what I thought. And that's how much of the church has been led astray, because somebody is bold enough or has a bold enough of a personality, and God really does use them. And people think, well, my Lord, they just must sit next to the throne of Jesus. Not necessarily true. Not necessarily true. If that's not true, then what is the test? What is the test? Jesus said this. Listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. These are not my words. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 7. And when he was speaking about the difference between true teachers and false teachers, true prophets and false prophets, he said, ye will know them. In other words, you'll be able to identify them by their fruits. What do you say? Notice he didn't say you'll know them by their gifts. Because gifts can be used outside of the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit, because once God gives that gift, he never takes it away. People can preach, teach, outside of the direct anointing of the Holy Spirit, but yet at the same time possess a gift to be a pastor or a teacher. It goes on all the time. TBN is having its begathon this week. And it's laughable, ain't it, Ned? I can't watch it for very long. I really can't. But just flicking across the dial, you're like, my Lord, here they are. And last night this guy had them counting down to one. And when he counted down to one, he said the glory of God was going to fill the house. The Shekinah glory was going to appear in every home that had their TV set on, if they went to the phone. That was the catch. You had to go to the phone when he hit one. I wanted to do it. Oh, I wanted to go to my phone and just call him and say, hey, that fella counted down and I'm on the phone right now. And you know what? My living room's the same as it was when he started at 10. But this guy that was up doing this, I believe he's God called and has the gift of being a pastor. But that gift is in operation, but it's not under the inspiration and the control, if you will, of the Holy Spirit. Do you see that? So don't be too enamored with human giftings, is what the lesson is tonight. Don't become too enamored with human giftings. Yes, we should respect the ministry gifts of apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist, pastor, if they're operating under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And how do you know if they're operating under the anointing of the Holy Spirit or not? Of course, your spirit will bear witness. But the greatest test of all, really, let me say it better than that, the only test. what are they preaching and teaching? Does it line up with the Word of God? And let me be just as blunt and forward as I can be with it. If they're not leading you to the cross of Christ, ultimately, and what they're preaching or teaching, their message is not of the Holy Spirit. If they're leading you to law, if they're leading you unto themselves because they're trying to heap disciples unto themselves because they're on an ego trip and want people to look up to them, you better run from them. You better run from them. Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits. And the fruit of the Spirit, mentioned in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is what Jesus was referring to. You'll know one of my true ministers by their fruit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, long-suffering, temperance. Against such there is no law. So you'll know them by their gifts and by their message. And even more importantly, by their message. By the message they're preaching. You know, anybody of an average intellect can stand up and put together a sermon and have it be real good. See what I'm saying? I mean, really. It doesn't take. I remember A.W. Tozer. I was reading after him one time. I'll never forget what he wrote. And he wrote this in the 50s. He said, the greatest sin of the modern church is that it attempts to do everything outside of the Holy Spirit's power. He said most of what the modern church does could be done by any well-educated, well-organized, secular entity. Now think of that. It takes the power of the Spirit. That's what separates the church from the world. Okay? So don't become too enamored when you see a gift. Respect it. Love it. Thank God for it. Especially if it's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And hopefully you know now how to discern whether or not it's of the Holy Spirit. Where are they leading you to? Paul told this church at Corinth in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. He said, no man speaking by the Spirit of God can say Jesus is accursed. Now, when Ken Copeland and Joyce Meyer and other Word of Faith teachers teach that Jesus became sin on the cross and that he became a curse on the cross, even though they may have a lot of other good things to say, they may be able to give you helpful hints about how to, you know, operate as a family biblically and other things. But the core of their message is wrong and it's poison to the human soul and spirit. No man speaking by the Spirit of God can say Jesus is accursed. And the reason that was placed in the Bible is because Bible scholars I've read after, and I'm inclined to agree with them, say that they had people in the Corinthian church that were Judaizers that were standing up giving messages in tongues or prophecies saying that Jesus Christ was accursed and basically what he did on the cross was of no value, that they needed to come back under the law again. And that's why that was inserted in there by the Holy Spirit as he moved on Paul. No man speaking but the Spirit of God can say Jesus is accursed. Yes, Phil.
Can you explain a curse, what that means?
Accursed, the Greek word, Phil, is anathema. It means separated from God, you know, and didn't have anything to do with God, basically. In other words, denying the deity, the lordship, and the sonship to God of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Word of Faith teaching, that's exactly what's done. That's exactly what's done. So here you have these brilliant speakers that are gifted by God and called by God. Teachers, pastors, prophets, evangelists, pastors. That are up adulterously, spiritually speaking, using their gift that was given to them by God to be a blessing to the body. As Ephesians tells us, to build up the body of Christ. Whether they're making merchandise out of God's people. Okay? And even in the gifts of the Spirit, Paul put a limit, especially on tongues and interpretation, on how this gift should operate in the church. Because The vocal gifts have more of a chance to be abused probably than any of the other gifts. I mean, let's use a gift of healing, okay? If somebody comes in with something wrong with them and then that goes away, I mean, that's evident that was a gift of healing. You know, it's pretty tough to, I mean, some have tried and some have foolishly followed them to imitate gifts of healing. Like these leg lengthenings where they'll slip somebody's shoe out a little bit and pray for them and push the shoe in and tell them their leg was lengthened. You never heard of that one, Linda? I've got to educate you then. That's going on. That's one of the oldest chicanery tricks of healing evangelists known. Is they'll have a lady or a man sit down and say, okay, stick your legs out. And they'll slide one shoe out as they've got their hands lightly under their feet. And they'll say, yep, this leg's longer than this one, you know, in the name of Jesus. And push that shoe back in, and crowds just go wild. Oh, praise God, glory to God, look how God's moving. Really? That's why you don't follow gifts. You follow the giver of the gifts. You don't follow gifts. If you do, you're going to get yourself in trouble. You're going to get yourself in trouble spiritually. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Have we pretty well covered that question? Anybody have any other questions on it? Can a person who doesn't have their faith in the cross of Christ operate in the gift of the Spirit? Absolutely, it can happen. Without the direct anointing of the Holy Spirit on that gift. Yes, Linda. Absolutely. So, go ahead.
Say a backslider goes completely out. I'm just going wild.
Uh-huh.
And they can still have that?
Let me tell you something, Linda. That's a very good question. Where do you think most of the musical talent in the world today that's not been used for God, who gave that talent? Who gave Kelly Clarkson her voice? God gave her a tremendous gift. I use her because I like her. She's one of my favorite singers. I don't like all the songs she does, but I think she has a beautiful voice. But she doesn't use that for God. God gave that to her. God gave her that gift. Many, I believe, politicians who are brilliant orators, God gave them that gift to use to teach, to preach the gospel. And they've taken it. I'm not saying every politician. I'm just giving you an example. But do you follow me on that? Or even in a backslidden condition, once God gives a person a gift, he never takes it away. That's why we must judge by the word what they're preaching and teaching, because a gift will fool you. See what I'm saying, Linda?
How can a person that, you know, dying on the cross or anything like that, how can they be saved?
Well, they're not saved.
That's what I was,
yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead. You straight now? Yeah, no, of course, if your faith isn't in the cross, like, even though they have a gift, like, well, I'm not picking on her, please, but Kelly Clarkson, you know. She's obviously not living for the Lord, but she's been given a tremendous gift, you know. And the church has traditionally followed after gifts. And that's how many people have been deceived and led astray, because they thought because somebody had a great gift. I'm gonna hit it close to home here before we close and fill out our sheets. I love the man, and I don't want to cast any dispersion on him at all, because we've got Brother Swagger to thank. I mean, God using him that brought us the message of the cross. But when he fell into his difficulties in the late 80s, I almost lost my salvation over that. I'll be honest with you. Because my thinking was, I had turned him into an idol. I mean, even though, thank God, he was leading me in the right direction spiritually. But I think a lot of people had. And my thinking was, man, if this dude can't make it, who I see stand and 100,000 people answer his altar calls, and when you're watching him, watch some of those old crusades over Sun Life Broadcasting Network from the 80s, and watch the hair on your back of your head stand up as Brother Swaggart preaches. And I thought, man, if this dude can't live it, what chance do I have? on that basis. Not because I thought, well, he fell, I'm quitting. You know, it wasn't that kind of thing at all. It was just like, I thought, man, if this dude can't live it without falling into sin, how on earth is poor old pitiful me going to make it? But thank God, even in that, God used that to bring him where he is today. And this time he's ready to preach the gospel to the world. He'll be the first one to tell you in the 80s he wasn't ready. I had the privilege one time to have lunch with he and Lauren Larson when I was down in Baton Rouge, and I'll never forget, he was humblingly mocking himself. He said in the 80s, he said, I announced to the Lord, Lord, I'm ready to take the gospel to the world. He said, somebody asked me the other day, just when their ministry was starting to take off again, you know, right now, it's been about 3 or 4 years ago. They asked him, they said, Brother Swaggart, if God does it again, are you ready? He said, no, I'm not. He said, that's how I know God can use me this time, because I know it ain't me. I know it's got to be him that does it. He said, before Jimmy Swaggart tried to do it. He said, but the Lord has shown me through the message of the cross that it's in demonstration and power of the Holy Spirit. Man, my tears welled up in my eyes there at the table. I thank God for the message of the cross. I thank God for it. It's nothing new. But every day of my life, I praise God for this glorious message that we preach, church. That we know. Oh, what a privilege. What a privilege. What a privilege that we've known it for a while now. You know, I was thinking the other day, and I got clothes here and let you fill out these sheets. Remember that song by Barbara Mandrell? Came out years ago. I don't know if any of you are Barbara Mandrell fans or not. It was called I Was Country When Country Wasn't Cool. Well, I got news for you. One day, even right now, we're able to say we believed in the cross when believing in the cross wasn't cool. When it wasn't going around the world, when most of the church didn't want it or didn't want to hear about it. Now, God has given a platform for it to go around the world, and it can't be ignored. Praise God. Paula.
Knowing the cross, and my faith is there, and teaching 10 years ago in another church.
Yeah.
It's just amazing, because when you do teach, everything comes back.
Praise God.
Everything comes back. And before you know it, you know, you're back and you could be out here teaching something completely away from it, but it just always leads back.
It comes back. Praise God. That's how you know what you're teaching is right. That's why I preached it to you. In some form or fashion, if what you're teaching or preaching is right, it'll always come back to the cross. If you're preaching on how to have a better family, wonderful. Preach it. But ultimately, you'll end up at the foot of the cross if you're preaching it right on how to heal your family or how to become a better Christian or whatever biblical thing you're trying to achieve. You see, that's where the church has gone wrong. They've tried to achieve these things in human flesh, and they can't be done. Any other questions or comments on our subject matter tonight? Yeah.
Michael Jackson had asked somebody to teach him how to sing because they had the anointing on him.
Yeah, that was Andre Crouch and Sondra Crouch.
Well, I was scrolling through some Jimmy Swaggart. I was trying to look at some Jimmy Swaggart messages and stuff, and I came across this guy, and it said the message of the cross, and he started preaching. I guess it was a message exactly from Jimmy Swaggart, and then he was just like preaching exactly like Jimmy Swaggart. I mean, I was so confused, and everything he was saying was good, and I was so confused because I was like, well, I don't feel anything with this guy. But I scrolled down below, and I guess he was an actor trying to mock him.
Oh.
And so the anointing was not on him, and it was so weird because everything he was saying, well, because it was a message, he took directly from Jimmy Swaggart.
Yeah.
But it was so awkward. It was like, what is going on?
Why? You knew something was wrong.
Yeah.
That's a good thought. Somebody else had a hand up. Who was it? Somebody else have a hand up? Huh? Go ahead, Linda. No, that's what this is for. Speak up.
I was just sitting here thinking, all them years I was going to church and never learned about the cross.
That's something, ain't it?
And it is. And I sit and think of all the years that I have wasted. But now.
But Linda.
But now.
Joel,
I
chapter
know.
2. I'll restore the years
yes,
that the locust
yes.
and the canker worm and the palmer worm has eaten away. Praise
Pastor,
God. Praise
God. I'm telling
God.
You, I've learned so much. So much. You wouldn't believe.
Hallelujah.
And thank God for you. I really thank God
for
you.
Oh, don't thank God for me. You thank God for all I am, Linda, is one hungry guy telling everybody else where there's a man giving out free sandwiches.
Right, right.
You know, that's it.
Yes,
that's
am.
It. Praise okay. God. But I'm glad it's the message of the cross. Oh, man, I feel the preach right now. Hallelujah. It's going to be the message that takes us to where God's got us going. Amanda and Tara are laughing at me because I've been trying to close for 25 minutes now and can't get it done. That's okay. That's okay. Praise God. It's all right, girls. I'll get you home before good morning, America. But I tell you, it's this message that we're preaching. It's what's causing the Holy Spirit to reach out to this community and those around us on our behalf. It's not us. It's the message. It's the message, Christ and Him crucified. It's the most powerful message this world has or ever will hear. Hallelujah. Praise God. Any other questions in tonight on our subject matter? I hope I've answered it to everybody's satisfaction. And did that okay. I won't say who, but I see the one who asked the question nodding their head, so that's good enough for me. Right now, real quick, or else... next week, I'm in trouble. Would you hand those out for me, Phil? Please, take about 5 minutes here. Get these filled out. I'm going to give this yellow envelope. And if you do have, Ravonna, would you take this yellow envelope? And everybody see Ravonna? Austin, won't you do it? I'll let Austin do it. Oh, they need to, okay, yeah, you might need to rip them up. And while you're filling those out, if anybody else has any other questions or comments, feel free to jump in. It's Wednesday night. We're laid back on Wednesday night. So if anybody wants to jump up and testify about anything God's done for them, you feel free right now. Couple of announcements while you're, maybe this is a bad time to do this. The Wednesday before Thanksgiving, we will not be having Wednesday night service. I think that's 2 weeks from tonight. Is that right? Wednesday before Thanksgiving, or is it 3 weeks from tonight? Three, okay. And so mark that on your calendars, and please fill out those sheets for me. Please. Yes, Ravonna. Party this Sunday.